Hey guys, new podcast today here at CycloneFanatic.com. We are on location today up at the Iowa State football complex. It's actually a little bit quiet around here as the guys are out recruiting, but John Kusieski, he is the director of scouting at Iowa State. He is in the house, and he joins us on today's podcast that is brought to you by our good friends at AgriGold. Beautiful day out here in central Iowa. It's going to be a beautiful weekend if you're driving around the beautiful countryside. You'll see a bunch of those AgriGold farmers out there planting. Thanks to AgriGold. A lot more podcasts for you later on this week. We got the podcast coming up tomorrow, and then a little basketball podcast coming up on Friday. But this will serve as our recruiting podcast for this week. Earlier today, I interviewed John Kusieski. He is the director of scouting up for the Iowa State football program. So, Coach, have you ever done a podcast before?
This is my first official podcast. I've listened to quite a few as a commuter when I was working in the city of Chicago, but this will be my first one that I'm a part of.
Are you nervous?
Not at all.
That's good. That's good. That's encouraging. I want to start. Just tell the people a little bit about yourself. I did some research, and I didn't know this until I was just about an hour ago, but I didn't realize that you come from a coaching family and you have that type of a background.
Yeah, that's kind of where it all started. Obviously, being the son of a high school coach, dad was a head coach at Libertyville High School for quite a while. I got a chance to grow up in a football household, as well as obviously play for him and win a state championship playing for him as a captain on his team, which was pretty cool. So yeah, football was kind of given to me in the bassinet and hasn't been taken away yet. So
did you go to Penn State?
I did.
I saw you were like a student assistant. That's
yeah,
where you got your start.
Yep. So I was at 5'9", 175 pounds, and a 4.7 40. I wasn't the most recruited athlete in the country. As we do evaluations now, I probably wouldn't make the board here at Iowa State, but had some interest at some smaller tier schools and some Ivy Leagues, and decided to forego that playing opportunity to become an undergraduate assistant coach at Penn State. So kind of started off doing some student manager stuff and worked my way into running the scout team by the time I was a senior. So heck of an experience there, obviously, before kind of all the things happened there at Penn State.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Were you there at that time at all? Or?
I was there right before it, so okay. Part of some Big Ten championship season and five straight bowl games there, and then actually was offered a job to come back as a graduate assistant the summer that everything kind of went down. So I'm kind of glad that I didn't take that opportunity and I stayed at Northwestern University, but a place that I learned quite a bit, and obviously a man I respect in Joe Paterno, no matter what, obviously the outcome has been. In there.
Yeah, that is definitely understandable. So you're at Western Michigan for a while, Western Michigan. You end up with Coach Campbell at Toledo. Now you're the director of scouting here at Iowa State. What's that on a daily basis? Explain somebody what you do.
It's a little bit of everything, and it's all based on the time of year. So at this time of year, kind of the evaluation time for our football staff, especially moving forward. Obviously, coming in December when we did, everything was 2016 class. Everything was the senior class. How do we get them to Iowa State? Official visit them. How do we get them committed? How do we bolster this roster the best we can? And normally during that time period, as you hit January, you would move towards that junior class. You would spend a lot of time evaluating young guys. Well, we didn't have the opportunity to do that. Now, we really caught up with film study in the months of February and March as a staff and within our scouting department, but kind of identified who we really wanted to see in person. If a guy wasn't an offer, if we needed to see something in person or get a background check or something else, we made sure those were a priority to see here in this month of April and May. So right now it's crazy. We have two meetings every single day. We meet at 8 a.m. and 3 p.m., give or take a couple hours either way, depending on what else is going on here at the building. But we're meeting as a recruiting staff, and we've organized it as such so that every coach has somebody here in the office that they talk to. And this is a structure that I'm kind of proud of, and maybe it's a trade secret, but it's been really good for us as far as how we organize that. And we have really, really good meetings so that each, you know, whether it's a graduate assistant or somebody else within the program, has a chance to voice their opinion on a prospect, has a chance to give the insight from the coach that's on the road, and ultimately they're watched by the head football coach and the rest of our staff. And you know, if they're an offer or not an offer, are they a guy we need to get to camp, or whatever they may be. The communication is obviously critical at this point, this time of year.
So how does that work? You have a guy on the road. he calls back and says, I want to offer this kid, and it, and then you guys meet here at Iowa State and go over it?
Yeah. You know, sometimes we'll go in knowing one thing. Hey, if this kid's 6'3", we want to offer him. So that those are easy. Mm-hmm. Coach, obviously, we're not allowed to talk to him, but if you see him in the weight room, wow, that kid's 6'4". Well, we got to go on it. So that, those ones are a little bit, they go into a school knowing this is the exact thing I need to look for. Hey, what are his grades like? If this kid's grades are up to par, yeah, we want to offer him, you know, background check, whatever it might be, whatever that missing factor is. The coaches, if they can verify that, then they've got the power to do that. Now, every day they're going to turn up three or four guys we didn't even know about, just the nature of the business. And those are the guys that we really take a look at and say, hey, well, this guy was 240. Holy cow, he's put 40 pounds on, and we didn't like him because he was too light. Now, is he a guy? And that's kind of the film that we evaluate on a daily basis. And the coolest part about Huddle and the use of film on the road is that they can upload that workout straight to the internet, and we watch it in the staff room. So although we're not on the road, although the head coach is pulled off the road, he's got a chance to watch, whether it's a committed player, whether it's a offered player, or just a camp player, whatever they may be, we get a chance to watch them. So we get our eyes on them as well, which is invaluable tape, in my opinion.
So are you caught up now? I know you kind of just mentioned when you get the job in December, it kind of backs things up. Are you guys like where you want to be on 2017 now? Or?
Yeah, I think obviously we were really proud of the way we put together the 2016 class. I think we identified some needs early, and we were able to fill those needs in the class of 2017. I don't know that you're ever caught up in recruiting. There's always more to be done, which is somewhat the stressful part of a job like this, in all honesty. But I think that I wouldn't have thought we would have the amount of verbal commitments we have at this point in time. And I think our coaches are just doing a really, really good job as far as identification goes and being on the right guys and then getting those guys to campus. I was surprised. I think everyone, the misconception here, or at least the hard part, a challenge we were told about early, is getting guys to Ames, Iowa. It's going to be hard to get them there. But once they come here, holy cow, we haven't had a player that hasn't left our campus just wowed by the people, the facilities, the academics. And I think we did a great job in the months of February and March getting players here to campus, which helped us with that commitment process, I guess. And as we move forward, the summer will be critical to get some of those guys from Texas and Florida and places outside of this 4 to 6 hour radius that can get here and see this place. I think that'll be a big deal as we go forward and finalizing this class this fall.
Backing it up, take me back to December, because I've heard stories about Coach Campbell gets the job and like nobody even knows about it, and he's already recruiting from a plane or whatever. What was that 48 to 72 hours like?
Yeah, well, it was kind of just a mix of emotions, because at the University of Toledo, we came off what was one of the worst losses for us, at least internally, in the sense of program loss. It was a big deal. I mean, I took it hard. If you're a competitor, and we all are, it wasn't an easy one to swallow. And kind of personally, I was sulking a little bit the day after that. And it was, you know, the Saturday of all the rivalry games with Ohio State and Michigan. I was kind of the point where, like, I can't even watch football today because I was so kind of upset. And then you start seeing the tweets that Coach Campbell's in like six different cities and being for every job that's open. And as a staff member, you just kind of sit there wondering what's going on. And obviously he confided in the coaches he confided in during that process, which he did. And then as soon as it was done, he had called a group of us that night. I got a call about 12:15 midnight on Saturday, Sunday morning, and said that he took the job and offered me the job to come with him. And it was all really great. But when you work with somebody like Matt, you don't need the contract sitting on your doorstep in order to join him. I think that the loyalty from him goes both ways from us. And I think the process was absolutely crazy. I didn't think anyone thought it was going to turn over as fast as it did. The next day, I kind of informed the AD that I was going to be leaving and packing up my stuff immediately. And I kind of went on and had made calls. We basically had gotten guys to call me. I can't call people, but, use the Twitter to get them to call you and have the conversations with a bunch of guys about where we're going, because it was new to everybody. And I think Coach Golish was hitting the road running, and I was hitting the road running from his end. And I think six or seven of us got on that plane that Monday, not knowing when we would be back. And It didn't go back until Christmas, so it was...
How'd you have enough clothes and stuff?
I packed as much as I could. I knew me personally would not come back to Toledo. Now, our coaches were still working out whether they coached in the bowl game, who would do what.
Okay.
I think all of that was getting sorted out. Myself, I knew, as an off-the-field recruiting guy, I knew I was going to be with Matt until further notice. So I packed as much as I could. Now, I didn't have any Iowa State gear, obviously.
They hooked you up, though, I assume.
They did. Good. They took care of us down in the equipment room, and we were here. Got here on Monday night, pretty much spent 48 straight hours reviewing our board, University of Illinois board, who they've been recruiting here, put them all together, reached out to some kids nationally that we were in on at the University of Toledo before they had become national players to try to get in with some of those guys. And by Thursday morning, we were all on the road, whoever was there. I was in five cities in 48 hours. Kind of spreading the good word of a campus that I actually hadn't even seen. But it wasn't really selling the campus at that point in time yet. It was more so selling Coach Campbell, the people here, the support here, and what I had seen in these facilities.
How did the guys react differently to you compared to they did at Toledo? Because you said the national guys, like, that you couldn't get there. If you called them from here, did they take your call easier?
They did, because we always pride ourselves on the evaluation process we do, and you'll notice that the way we work, especially with young guys, I think that we're always kind of on the front end of a lot of the offers and a lot of the evaluation goes as far as the young guys go. And at Toledo, we were lots of times the first guy's offer and a guy that would end up having 25 offers by his senior year. And I think a lot of players really respected the fact that we were the first offer. And I know that sounds crazy, but they respected the fact that we identified them when we did. And now that we had a little bit, I don't want to say a bigger logo, but in a sense, a little bit more pull, obviously, nationally. I think they were very receptive, and I think that the job we had done in recruiting, and you never quite know, you're never out on a recruit, even when they commit other places, unfortunately, both ways.
Yeah.
You don't know if you're going to get the guy committed to you, and you don't know if the guy committed to somewhere else might actually go your way. You always got to treat people well throughout the entire process and treat them as if you're continuing to recruit them until they sign in February, and I think that our staff had just recruited so many guys and continued to stay on that it made it, you know, easy and like, holy cow, we were in on a bunch of guys right away, and maybe we probably shouldn't have been, but
yeah. Are you an early signing period guy?
Yes and no. I think there's so much that goes. It's not just about an early signing period, but then it's about early official visits. I think that,
okay,
you know, there's just so much that goes into it, and I don't want to say that our NCAA is flawed, but I think that these decisions have to have a lot, you know, put into them before that they're made. You know, there's so many rules that have been changed and unchanged here in the last few months that I would be for it personally, because it takes the stress off of my job of trying to keep these guys, like, worrying about a guy until February, because those months of December and January can get a little bit hairy when this guy is getting this guy in the house and all that, and it's like, well, he's been committed for almost a year and now this school's coming in. But I would always be for it, because it would just take the stress levels of my job. It's a little bit selfish, but I would be all for it. But I think you got to be able to visit these guys beforehand too. You can't expect a 16, 17, 18 year old to make a decision to come to a university without having seen it. And some of these players and prospects just don't have the means by which to get here.
Yeah. And one thing I've noticed too over the years, it seems like the official visit isn't nearly what it used to be, just because guys commit so much earlier now.
Yeah, I think it's and it'll be interesting to see how it transpires here, because really, obviously, we were just in the months of December and January as far as officials went for the class of 2016. But this 17 class, you know, I've been at places, Penn State, where we would have guys official visit for game visits. We didn't do it much at Northwestern. We treated it kind of Northwestern as a celebration of sorts. You get the whole class to come together, and that's really how we kind of treated it Toledo, because guys have been committed so long. You got them to come for a weekend where everyone's family was around, our coaches' families were visible. You did really, you know, serious academic meetings. You kept the whole class together to kind of almost weather the next month of them getting, you know, recruited by other staffs. And I don't know. I think that probably will be where we lean. You know, it'd be my thought, just, you know, up in the air. But if a kid says, I need to see a game versus a Big 12 opponent to commit, then we're never going to tell them no. But I think that I would probably lean that way. I think obviously junior college players will do most of their visits during the season if they can, if they're not playing on Saturday nights. And but high school players, I think you'd like to keep to what we've always done and have them come and kind of after as close to signing day as possible, in all honesty, so that you have that last impact on them.
Okay, so just a few specifics on recruiting, because a lot of fans are kind of nutty about it, where they're on the sites and they're looking at the, you know, the stars and all. So if you had advice to an Iowa State fan who's watching you guys recruit right now and they're really into that, like, what should they pay more attention to? Body type, offers, stars, like, because to me, like, I guess this is the way I've always looked at it, Coach, is I'm like, who else wants that guy? Mm-hmm. But I also know that you guys kind of approach it as, like, how you just explained to us, we get on guys early. Mm-hmm. So my mindset doesn't necessarily work for everything that you guys are looking at.
Yeah, I think that early in this profession, I was told that stars and bars will get you fired if you're always focused on that. Now, it's always great to reel in somebody that's nationally accredited by whatever, it's a website or a scouting agency, whatever it might be. That's important. Yeah, that's great, and that moves the needle. But ultimately, I think that we got it as a staff here. We're always wanting to take just great football players, people that love the football game, play with great attitude and effort, you know, represent themselves in the classroom like they do off the field. I think it's really a full package, and I don't know that there's one, hey, look at this or look at that. I think, I don't know. I know that's a vague answer for all the people trying to do that. I don't think that there's a way to do it. I think that turn the tape on and see if you like the player and if you like the way the guy plays. I think that, you know, I think that that's most important. And obviously we're trying to build this based on attitude and effort, and those are things that you can't always see in the highlight. Now, you can sometimes, but, you know, I think that, I don't know that there's a necessary just one thing to look at. I think that you're going to see some guys that we sign that might be a zero star nobody had a clue about, and you might see some guys that'll be a four-star player. I think that we're willing to recruit anybody in the country, and we're willing to, as long as we believe they're a great fit here, I think that that's what's most important to us at the end of the day. It's great to be ranked and all that kind of stuff. It's good for notoriety and good for the program and the university, but ultimately, if you're worried about that ranking the whole time, then you're not worried about the caliber of player and how they fit into your program.
How much has Twitter changed your life?
Yeah, it made it a little bit more miserable. Now this is this is the...
it's not easier now?
No, it is easier. It's easier in the sense that obviously Twitter provides information to you regularly, minute by minute, offer by offer. You can see and have more reach on players, especially with what we can do to market our university to players than you'd ever had before. So it is a great tool. You know, I think at times it can get a little overwhelming with all the kids you're messaging and all this and that. And I think that that's my job, and that's how I kind of start and finish my day. But first thing I do in the morning is make sure I message my top guys or make sure I'm responding to this guy or doing whatever and finishing that way at night. Now you can text. So that's basically made the messaging portion of Twitter obsolete, which I think is a whole different battle, because Twitter, at least you can control your phone's not vibrating in your pocket, but this texting is gets a little bit crazy.
So I've noticed over the years of covering recruiting that the guys don't really want to talk on the phone anymore.
No,
they'd much rather just text you.
Well, that's society, unfortunately. I think that's more of a societal issue, and I think that's a whole nother podcast right there with the way things are going with that. And
we'll have to get you in on just social issues sometime.
Yeah, my sister's a high school English teacher, so I get plenty of examples of some things that we need to continue to fortify in our high school districts. But I'd rather talk to anybody on the phone. I think Coach Campbell's the same way. You can have a 20-minute phone conversation with a kid is more than you can get in 10 weeks of Twittering with them. Confidence in the kid, what they talk about, personality, you just get so much more, you know, from talking as much as you do than you do from a text message or a tweet that you don't have really, there's no emotion behind it. You don't know how much they mean what they say, and, you know. But
final thing I wanted to touch is just, it seems like momentum is a very real thing on the recruiting trail. Is that accurate? Because, man, like I just look at, and maybe it's just coincidence, but you guys had such a huge signing day, like where you had the surprises and stuff. And I mean, it just seems like you guys have a ton of it right now. Have you noticed that over the years?
I think that we do. And you have to find a way to utilize it, because ultimately, you know, we haven't played a football game yet.
Yeah.
I mean, we can say what we want to say, but we haven't played one game here.
Does it almost help you too?
It does. It does. And it But yeah, it does help you having not played yet. Now you have to continue to build this. This isn't going to be something that's built in a year. And when Coach Campbell signed the contract and we all came here, we knew it wasn't going to be a holy cow, one signing class, and now we're crowning us the champion. No, it's not. That's not the case. It's consistently, just as they did at Toledo, flipping it from 3-9 to 11-2, 10-2. You know, it takes class by class by class of taking the same guys that you believe in, the same things I've told you about, and then sustaining it. That's kind of what Coach Campbell's vision for Iowa State's always been. It's not just to win one. It's to win a bunch and create a tradition that maybe hasn't been here as much as it's been in other places. And I think that, yeah, momentum's very real. I think that, especially when you start talking about commitments in a class, I think that you have a little bit of leverage, too, when that starts to happen. You're going to take X amount of linemen. Well, we've got this many committed. Do you want to play at Iowa State? Or are you okay if we tell you we're full? Mm-hmm. You know, that's where it can create a little bit, and that's where you know, when you start getting the greatest part too is when you get these guys committed, they become ambassadors for your football team.
Yeah.
So now they can start recruiting, and they do, and they love it. And when you have guys that are committed to you and want to recruit for your football program, holy cow, watch out. That's where it can get really dangerous, in my opinion.
And then you see it too publicly, because I mean, you can see these guys like tweeting at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's almost like if a guy's the fifth commit, like he wants to be responsible for bringing a couple of his buddies.
Yeah. And that's where you get them here to campus. And that's where it's the same thing with that official visit. When you can get these guys together, when they're from Florida, Texas, Illinois, Ohio, Iowa, wherever they're from, you get them all in the same place. And the stronger that group is through this process, then think about what they'll be in 4 years after being a Cyclone. Like,
yeah,
that's when those teams, you see the great teams of any sport, any sport throughout history. The chemistry is something that maybe takes a great team to elite, or a good team to great, because the belief and value in each other is so high. And I think that if you can foster that, we as coaches can foster that through the recruiting process, holy cow, it's something that's cool to watch as those guys grow into their fourth years as seniors or fifth years as seniors.
Well, it's been fascinating. I know you got to run, but
no,
you got to do it again sometime.
It's good. Yeah, I'm wide open, obviously, just kind of scratch the surface of what this is. And I think that it's been fun from my perspective here at Iowa State because of, you know, what you do and what all these fans are so fanatical, for lack of better words. But they really are, and I think that our recruits see that. And I think when you get that many retweets and you get all these people following them, it's crazy to me. And it's like we get more and more recruiting, so hopefully the fans stay on us and keep helping us through thick and thin here, because it's definitely appreciated.
Iowa State doesn't have the largest fan base in the world, but I find me a more, like you said, fanatical and loyal one.
Yep.
I guess. I mean, they haven't won many games the last 3 years, and they're still filling up Jack Trice.
Yep.
And we've seen it in basketball too, like during some down years. And no, we're glad to have you guys here. It's been fun. So thanks for your time, man.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Appreciate it.
You you going on any vacations, anything like that? You guys get some time off? Like,
we will. We got, well, now the camp satellite camps are back in booming.
Oh, yeah. So that's good and
schedule.
That's good and bad for you, right?
I love it, because I can't go on the road here in the month of May. Unfortunately, part of my Coach Campbell, I got to sit here and watch all this tape. So I don't mind getting to go to Dallas and go to Chicago and St. Louis and across this great state and anywhere I'm allowed to go, Detroit, I'm going, because I love it. Because then it's my turn to see these guys that have been talked about. And it's like, wow, actually, I agree with Coach, or I don't agree. Or it's just kind of fun to get around. So I don't mind it. June's crazy. After June's done, vacation. My family kind of goes somewhere every year. This year we're going to the great state of Montana. So
nice.
I'm kind of looking forward to Big Sky or wherever the heck we're headed, and kind of dialing out for a second.
Yeah, put the phone away, man.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. So,
all right. Yep. Well, thanks again for your time.
Appreciate it, man.
Appreciate
thanks for
it.
Having me.
Yep. Yeah, anytime.